As I mentioned in the previous episode, I'm in the midst of battling a COVID infection.
Before we get started today, I'd just like to say thank you for all the well wishes, for all the love, for all the support. Still in this COVID haze, but as we know by now, this virus can take its sweet time, and just grateful that it hasn't turned any worse, neither for myself or any of my family members. So hoping we push through this fog soon and I can see it lift. But thank you again for your support, for your love. It means the world to me.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to This Moment, the transatlantic bridge connecting Stockholm, Sweden to Harlem, New York. As you know by now, my name is Jason Diakite, better known to some as Timbuktu. And as always, it is my pleasure and honor to share this moment with my dear brother and co-host, Chef Marcus Samuelson. Marcus, how are you, bro?
Jason, I'm sweaty. I'm just going to be very real. Technology failed me, so I have to run back to the apartment and get the backup gear.
Yep, you had to go back to your old school headphones, the one with the cords. You couldn't do the cordless ones.
Yes. Ask me for my Sony Walkman and I got you.
More food and more music and more laughter and more culture. That's what's coming up in this moment going into the 2021. I saw you put up a recipe for something you cook for your son, the coconut chicken. I'm like, here we go. Yeah. This is what I need to, I need to get more food inspo so I can cook for my daughter, cook her some new dishes, and I'm going to hit you with the music,
My prediction's going to age pretty bad because, so I'm going to call out. And the other prediction...
We're going to look back at this.
When Jason Wonder, who leaked his music, it was this moment. It happened right here. So you can go straight to the source. But let's have fun. Yeah. Let's look back at all these amazing people that we met and connected with, and we were actually had the privilege to share with our dear listeners. So let's do the countdown. 3, 2, 1.
Boom!
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you think about the first, the first time the idea of doing this as a podcast, the way I remember it, you called me and said we should really, because we had a couple of conversations on the phone, but then you called me one day and said we should really start recording our conversations and do a podcast.
I didn't know where it would go, but I've always appreciated our friendship and being creative, being Black, having these two really rare views into these two countries that we love. But I was also really scared, to be honest. I was really, really scared. And it was comforting speaking to you I was really impressed when you started to spit. Every day I looked forward to since you were 6 hours ahead of me, when I put my phone on,
vi bor på Jupiter och det 53 fullmånar heller än sätt att reagera på granan inte förvånad.
And that 30-second, 1-minute spit that you did, the rap you did, really got me going. Right, and people like DJ Nice and Questlove. There was a lot of music online, small, short form, that really got me going. But it was the unknown, and I needed comfort and people that I trusted and knew to hold on to and share. And one thing that I really connected with early on was to have Derek McDaniel, right, to have, you know, one of the core rappers that really built this from Run DMC, right? But it wasn't so much, but also the fact that he was adopted. And as a kid, I was always admired Run DMC, but he was the dude that I always admired. And I didn't know then that he was adopted. So when you're adopted,
sure,
you have this weird connectivity to somebody. And it was a big deal for us to speak to him. And he shared a lot.
And what a natural storyteller he is, you know. Just his story about joining the group is crazy.
I get the acceptance letter before I even ran into my parents. I'm running in the basement and I write a rhyme. I'm DMC in the place to be. I'm going to St. John's University. Yes. Since kindergarten, I acquired the knowledge.
After
12th grade, I went straight to college.
College.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, yeah. So I wrote that rhyme. That was in June of 82. In August of 82, this is crazy, the phone rings and it's Joe. And he's like, yo, D, remember 4 years ago when I said, if my brother lets me make a record, I'm putting you in my group? I was like, yeah. Well, grab your round book, dude. We going to the studio to make a record. And we went in the studio and we made it like that, Sucker MC.
Like that. Oh, wow.
Yeah, man. It's history, man. It's history, you know?
Yeah.
A rhyme that he wrote in 82. I know that rhyme, man. You know that rhyme. We all grew up on
it.
Yeah,
of course. But you know what my favorite part about that is? I don't see you fanning out too much, but when you're spitting with him there a little bit, you were fanboying, which is so cool to
see.
Hell
yeah.
Yeah, and that's really dope for me to see.
No, it's paying homage to the elders, man.
This moment.
One of them that I really remember is the amazing Grammy-winning Black Roots artist, Fantastic Negrito.
Oh my God, we laughed with that. I love him. Like, his story was just amazing. We needed that.
We
too,
definitely
man,
need. He picked us up. You know, made us
really
laugh.
Did.
And it's something about balancing tragedy with humor. You know, the beauty and the pain of living a human life, right? And everything that can happen, the losses that we all will go through in different ways, and the rebirths. I think Fantastic really inspired me as far as, you know, you look at the different rebirths that he went through and the renaissances creatively.
And originality, talk about originality, right?
Into this other life. And I like found the Afro-punk scene and I started opening up illegal nightclubs. They were amazing because there was such a great, rich culture in Los Angeles at that time. In South Central, in the hood, Crips, Mexicans, all that. We had the club, they'd be like, they'd come by. I'd be like, if y'all want to come in, you got to put the guns down. We put all the guns in the cabinet. You come in, you party like everybody else. Cops were coming in, sheriffs coming in, sparking up. Like, man, this is, how'd you get these white people down here? I'd see Alicia Silverstone, Mike Tyson, everybody. Eric Benet sitting on the, man, people used to
What
come.
Did you call it? What was the name of the club?
I called it Bingo.
I love it, man.
And my name back then, I called myself Mr. 1AM. That was my name in LA.
Yeah, you know.
Wow. And we do share that we both ran
illegal
clubs. Mine out of my dad's building, but no guns. Swedish
version. Yeah, but I love that because that got you to tell the story of how you running illegal clubs laid the foundation economically for you to be able to pursue your chef dreams, man.
Yes, I had to hustle. I had to do 220.
It's being creative and not stopping yourself and attempting to kind of realize your dreams no matter what.
This has been a year where the creatives really had been that level of comfort, I think, a trusted space where, oh, wow, creativity is not going to go away. It's just going to go in a different place. And that has been very rewarding and inspirational for me to look at.
And Marcus, I got to be honest with you. And since you work with food every day and 2020 has been the year of cooking.
Wherever you are, wherever you're listening, I want to give you a quick tip about a potential menu to honor a more inclusive Thanksgiving and think about all America. You can think about a collard green salad, actually, that you braise the collard greens in vinegar and then you let them chill, and then take some fresh apples and you slice them, and then maybe you get some frisée and you make a vinaigrette and you toss that, and that's your salad. It's a collard green apple salad with some frisée. And then, you know, with some croutons with that, you can actually do Native American fry bread, you know, which basically a very simple dough that you roll out and you fry, and those can be your, like, your croutons. And, you know, it's a, as you make them, you can actually think about this was their land that we are now part of. And you don't have to go through the whole history, but I do think you cannot do this menu without having empathy for others, right? And I do think, especially a year like this, people like you and me, Jason, we're happy that Joe Biden won, and it was the Native Americans, 97% in Arizona, that voted for Joe Biden. So we have a lot to be thankful for.
Looking at recipes, looking at your recipes, now lately was the rise, being inspired by that. And I've spent more time shopping for groceries and preparing food for my family than I have any time before in my life.
But I have to tell you, for a chef, it does have another meaning, right? Like, I was, when I say I was scared to the bone, because I don't know who I would be if I would be a chef.
I can relate to that.
And of course, I mean, so Jason, you and I feel in many ways that we are working, but we haven't really, you know, we're working with our passions. It becomes our professions. But if you take, I can't separate the identity between Marcus the person.
Like Marcus, Chef Marcus Samuelson, and Marcus Samuelson. Or Makan, as I call you.
I have been a chef since my late teens. So when I said, what's going to happen? Like, I have built other skills through cooking, and so have you, because of through your music. You have now worldly skills that you're going to be able to do many, many things. But the core and identity of you is a musician. So that for me was something. It wasn't that I was losing my job and I was applying another job. I've never applied for the job. Right, I don't even know how it is to sign up to unemployment. Like, this is
that's the TV show I want to do about you, right? When you come back to Sweden and I help you sign into unemployment and show you how to get the bostadsbidrag and stuff like that.
Oh my God.
This moment.
One of the things that really felt good for us, and we learned a lot about this, was that we talked to a lot of incredible, inspiring Black women.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
If I right now decided that I wanted to play Monopoly with you, and for 400 rounds of playing Monopoly, I didn't allow you to have any money, I didn't allow you to have anything on the board, I didn't allow for you to have anything. And then we played another 50 rounds of Monopoly, and everything that you gained and you earned while you were playing that round of Monopoly was taken from you. That was Tulsa. That was Rosewood. There are those are places where we built.
One of the most hard-hitting moments is hearing Kimberly Jones stand on that street corner and do the Monopoly metaphor. And just a few weeks later, you invited her on the podcast, Marcus.
In the middle of the height of Black Life Matters in the summer.
Right, because it was delivered with so much, like, in your face aggressiveness, and unapologetically so, you know, especially like that last line. I'm like, y'all are lucky that what we're looking for is equality and not revenge. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you know, I'm a writer by trade. And so I was like, oh, I'm gonna get canceled. Like, my writing career is over. I might as well just like start writing poems to myself again or something. Yeah. But overall, like, I've really received a positive response. You know, of course, I have my share of trolls just like everybody else. But for the most part, the response has been very positive. And it's been interesting to me, because I feel like some of the, like, larger voices that would have been in opposition have been mute. I think they've almost been fearful of making a response to it because it's been received so well globally by and large. They put up a mural to me in Belgium. I was like, whoa.
Get used to it, because, you know, like, we all knew this stuff, but we haven't heard it like that packaged like that. And that's the power of intent and video and viral all in one. You know, Jason, when you came up with that line, the transatlantic bridge, with some of these people that are amazing, but we're on two different parts of the world. So for us to be able to introduce some of these amazing voices to a Swedish audience has been amazing. But then to turn it around to have some of those most amazing Swedish voices being introduced to an American audience. And that's really, for me, when the podcast hits its sweet spots, it's when we can be able to share that, because greatness is, you know, great voices are incredible. And it doesn't matter the size of the country.
Exactly. You know? And knowledge needs to be shared and spread, and we can all learn from each other. And sure, the United States is this huge monolithic country, the world's biggest economy, and Sweden is just a small fish in comparison. But there are a lot of lessons, and you've been saying that throughout the life of this podcast, that there are a lot of lessons that a giant like the United States could learn from a small country like Sweden. Just in our friendship, you're one of the few people that I can talk about really unpacking Sweden and the United States, our experiences of being foreign and Black in both places. And so to me, the transatlantic bridge is the one that you and I have always had in our friendship, because I can have conversations with you that I really can't have with a lot of nobody else I really know, you know? And I totally agree. When we manage to manifest that in the podcast, that's when we really hit the sweet spot.
And it's been fun to do something in a medium that you are learning. And there's a humility in that, but there's also an excitement in that. And, you know, I didn't know Kimberly, but we went after her and we got her. And I think that's something that it's been really great, right? Sometimes some of these people, they're amazing. We have very close relationship with, and some of these amazing guests, we don't know that well, and we're learning. And I just think that keeping that excitement in the interview and also allowing them just to be that force.
I'm sure don't have like a direct link or relationship to Sweden. Most probably don't, you know, whereas you can be sure that a lot of Swedes know, they know who Kimberly Jones is, but they might not know people like Sophia Rowe or Jotaka Edie and so forth. But yet and still, these are people whose voices you don't hear in Sweden. And that's where I think this moment has found its lane, right? That's our niche, to be able to, these two sides of the Atlantic.
Yeah, but brilliance and activism comes from everyday people, and it comes from that inner gut that, like, enough is enough. I'm going to talk about that. That's what Kimberly showed. That's what Aisha Jones showed. That is what so many people have shown here. It's like, you know what? It's sometimes we overthink about education in terms of its formal format. But most people were inspired by when you hear the story of Run DMC. When you hear the story of Fantastic Negrito, it's everything but a linear path that has taken them to that place, right? So I hope that the podcast, it's as inspired our listener as much as inspired you and me, you know, because that's really, I get excited.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
And what about Nicole Hannah-Jones? So Nicole Hannah-Jones did this incredible podcast called 1619, where she really talks about how slavery is connected to the everyday today, which a lot of people's like, well, can we not just all get along today and start from here, right? She really breaks that down. She's a Pulitzer Prize award-winning journalist, writes for the New York Times. But this piece, 1619, is a masterpiece.
It's literature.
And to have the chance to talk to her, it's going to go down as something that will be in history classes.
I can't believe we actually got her on the podcast. That was, you know, that was a huge moment.
You know, people often compare United States to Germany following the Holocaust and how Germany purged, you know, all remnants of Nazism. If we were to do that in the United States, if we were to try to purge all remnants of slavery, we would have to get rid of George Washington monuments, Thomas Jefferson, Madison, who was the father of the Constitution, half of the, you know, it's like, it's impossible to do that.
You know, when I hear that too, though, what's amazing, especially growing up in Sweden, where we are a little bit more, you know, I shouldn't say passive aggressive, but very much
I could say, you could say passive aggressive.
We don't want conflict. Yeah. No, but it's like conflicts. We try to avoid conflicts at all time. To listen to someone like Nicole Hannah-Jones being that clear, talking about racism, structural racism, how long it's been, with that clarity, it's exactly the cold shower we need to hear and be reminded of.
I truly think at the end of the day, down the line, it could be 2 years, it could be 5 years, 10 years, we're going to look back on 2020 as a pivotal year where we actually started out a new course, right? That I think is going to lead us to something better. You know, we're recording this, so, you know, if I'm wrong, we can go back and listen to, like, yo, your prediction was totally off, but that's really something I believe.
No, Jason, you're right. And I feel like we will learn about this. We're the lucky ones, because I think it will impact your music. And we're going to hear that in 21. I'm excited about that. Someone else that I'm super excited to have on this moment. And somebody surprised me how much laughter, we laughed the whole episode, was the incredible Alice Bah Kuhnke. Being a black woman in politics in Sweden, not only Sweden.
Yeah.
Being at the EU in Belgium, being a black female politician, you know, one of only 5 to 6, I think we got that sorted out, out of 300 plus members, just shows you how incredible, rare she is, but also her work ethic, her commitment to excellence, and her commitment to justice.
In a polarized Sweden, of course, I'm well aware of the risks to take a stand. And also being a green politician, you know, the Swedish Democrats, they always point at us as their biggest enemy, which, of course, I'm proud of. But I'm also, this is an really active, I'm conscious about what I'm doing. And this is something that I want to do. And I have talked to my husband and my children and my brother and sister and my parents about the risks I take. Because I have like the, of course, I am living under threats. You do, as a politician, as a green politician, as a woman, and as a black green woman.
You know, I think people like Alice Ba, Nicole Hannah-Jones, those are the giants that future generations will be standing on the shoulders of. People like Maxime and Zion. That's the knowledge. That's the truth telling. That's the courage that I think they will, you know, coming generations will look back on and say, well, if they could do it, if they could say these things, if they were thinking this, if they had the courage to stand up, then we can do it too.
Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to 21. And we're kicking it off like we're going straight this moment style. But what I can promise in 2021 is that we're going to listen to more music, laugh more, love more, and cook more.
Also, Marcus, we still have those. There are two dream guests out there that, you know, that we hope to get at. We'll see if 21 brings in a little Obama and a little Zlatan. We'll see what happens. You know, we'll see what happens. It's still
Exactly. I think we can get it done. I think we can definitely get it done, man. You got to keep dreaming and aiming high. So, you know, I'm not taking any of those dreams away.
To set it off, next week, we have a dear friend of mine and one of my all-time favorite Swedish artists, Sena Busee, coming on the show. We're going to talk food. I know that in Ghana, in Nigeria, they call it jollof rice.
Yeah, but they separate the rice.
I didn't know that
rice
jollof rice, the name of it, does it come from being wolof rice?
The wolof people,
so.
So wolof became jollof. Nothing to do with Nigeria. Like, Nigeria is a big country, and anything good.
Go
like,
easy now. Suya. There might be Nigerians coming on the show soon.
Suya, they can have.
We're going to talk music, life, and love. And then...
My name is Al Gore, and you're listening to This Moment.
Don't miss it, folks. Peace.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.